Thursday, June 7th, 2018. Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. It is quite amazing to take a moment and reflect on just how many topics we have been forcefully told over the years were wild-eyed, tinfoil hat-wearing conspiracy theories, and then were later shown and proven to be true, such as the NSA spying on Americans, something that is widely accepted as a factual concept today. Yet at one point, if you even spoke out about such a thing, you were a conspiracy theorist. Or what about geoengineering? Something that's been openly admitted to, Harvard programs discussing it, yet even today, some people will still call that a conspiracy theory. Or about the government lies and suppression of cannabis and its possible medical uses, something that is documentably true today, half the country agreeing with it, yet something like Reefer Madness, when released, was a factual documentary, but now resides in the comedy section. Or hell, the suppression of alternative medical treatments in general. What about the concept of a deep state, despite that being manipulated and contorted today to mean whatever they want you to think it means, was at one point considered a crazy conspiracy theory, but is now very clearly acknowledged that there's a shadow government operating behind the scenes. Or even just the concept of big pharma, something that was at one point considered a conspiracy theory, but is now very clearly recognized. Yet still somehow, this term is used today in an effort to discredit ideas that always seem to threaten the establishment narrative. However, I would argue it's almost entirely lost its ability to effectively control the way people think, almost the opposite effect today. And a perfect example of just such a conspiracy theory that's still clinging on to the concept of being false, but is quickly being revealed as very, very true, is the Bilderberg Group. As our first story of the day, coming from the freethoughtproject.com, as media hypes Trump-Kim summit, the real rulers of the world are secretly meeting at Bilderberg. The world's ruling elite will meet in secret this week. No press will be allowed in, no one will be interviewed about it, and Bilderberg will barely register as a blip within the mainstream media's radar. As the media hypes the mostly symbolic meeting between Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un, bankers, politicians, military leaders, and information controllers will be discussing their plans for the world behind closed doors and with zero transparency. Now, this is something that has been verifiably shown over the years to demonstrably affect policy following these meetings. But essentially, they're bound by their own agreements to not discuss anything that happens here. But the simple fact that so many powerful people from around the world, apparently even someone from the Vatican this year, are gathering to discuss the topics that we're about to read to you, but yet nobody's allowed to talk about it, it should be very alarming to all of us. And in many people's opinions, is a violation of the Logan Act. Even someone like Ron Paul has openly spoken about how this is a direct violation of the Logan Act, for people to gather behind closed doors and discuss policy and things that would affect the world, and more specifically, United States policy, which would be a violation of the Logan Act. Very, very interesting how something like this, so many powerful people, gets completely disregarded by the media. And more importantly, that up until very recently was openly called a conspiracy theory, but now they've already shown that it's been going on for decades. Very interesting. So it's the 66th annual Bilderberg meeting, and it will begin today in Italy. There are people there like Dan Dix from Press for Truth or Luke Radowski from We Are Change. They regularly go out every year. They find out where it's going to be, and they make sure and try to get people in interviews, and good for them, because people need to be trying at least to hold these people accountable. Now, apparently James Evan Pilato from New World Next Week said in his show today that due to the actions of people like us poking and prodding them over the years, they've been forced to basically admit, one, that it's actually happening, and two, give lists of what they claim are their discussion points, which you could argue are just nonsensical things, and they just discuss what they want to behind closed doors. But even if what I'm about to read is actually true, it's alarming enough. Now, these are apparently the 12 talking points of their meeting this year. Number one is populism in Europe. Number two, the inequality challenge. Number three, the future of work. Number four, artificial intelligence. Number five, the U.S. before midterms. Number six, free trade. Number 7, U.S. world leadership. 8, just Russia, which is funny. Number 9, quantum computing. Number 10, Saudi Arabia and Iran. 11, the post-truth world. Number 12, current events. Now, so many of those things are wildly relevant to policy of, well, more than just the United States. But think about this. World leaders, news organizations, captains of industry gathering together behind closed doors to discuss something like free trade or just Russia, quantum computing, artificial intelligence. These are things that are very, very important and influential in the world. So how can this not be a bigger deal? I mean, you've put aside the conspiracy theory aspect for just one second. How is nobody covering this in the media? This is just would be newsworthy in general, even if it wasn't a conspiracy theory. That in and of itself should raise red flags for us that they're simply refusing to talk about it. That's very important to recognize there. So as this continues to go on, I highly recommend that people continue to talk about it, look at it, make a point about it. But many already argue that this is more of a cover these days because their cover has been blown, that we know that it's going on, that there are other now secretive meetings happening that are more important than this. But nonetheless, it's simply just important to stand back and recognize the fact that something this important was kept secret from us for such a very long time when it is wildly influential. And they go on to make the point that presidents, even a senator or a mayor, I'm sorry, I don't have it written down, of Colorado is actually attending this year, and he's supposedly supposed to be potentially running for president in 2020. And they make the point to say people like Bill Clinton, George Bush, all happened to attend just before they got elected. So very interesting. And it's more than just those two. There's a lot of information that I highly recommend you dig in to understand what's really going on in Bilderberg. But this is just one of many, many, many conspiracy theories that just so happen to be true, as some other things we'll get into talking about today. Moving on to the next story, coming from WSBTV.com, Metro sex trafficking sting rescues nearly 160 children. A sting on the sex trafficking trade in Metro Atlanta netted dozens of arrests and the rescue of dozens of children forced into sexual servitude. Operation Safe Summer was a collaborative effort between the FBI's Atlanta field office and 38 law enforcement agencies in 6 Metro counties. The sting ended with nearly 160 children rescued, including one as young as 3 years old, and nearly 150 arrests, convictions, or sentences. Which is this is a fantastic thing to see, and I'm glad to see that people are actually beginning to get arrested for something like this. But the reason this story is even more so important is this is happening simultaneously to something that's being wildly called out as a conspiracy theory in Tucson, something we recently covered. Now, there's definitely reasons to have questions about something like that. A lot of things have come up that have even made me wonder maybe there's something fishy going on there. But nonetheless, for people to reflexively call it a conspiracy theory because they're claiming that it's a child trafficking camp shows you how people have been conditioned to look at these things while we're literally seeing 160 children rescued from a child trafficking camp. Very interesting, which goes right into the next story coming from the freethoughtproject.com. As Snopes debunks child trafficking camp, 160 kids are as young as 3 rescued in Georgia. And the point they make is this case illustrates how sinister and outright dangerous it is for the supposed arbiters of truth like Snopes to immediately write off allegations of child trafficking as conspiracy theory or fake news, which is what they are paid to do. People like Snopes are just simply a government propaganda arm used to sway opinion one way or the other, with their arbitrary false or true stamp, which is just so ridiculously simplified. The point here is that literally while we're seeing 160 kids rescued from exactly this kind of a thing, they're arbitrarily deeming this a conspiracy theory without ever truly investigating, as they've done so many times in the past. It has to just show you that we should not dismiss things like this. And it also has to show us how weird it is that things like child trafficking are always considered such a conspiracy theory, despite the rising prevalence in this country, or rather just being revealed as always being prevalent in this country. And as Titus appropriately tweeted recently, when Snopes says it's fake, you know that it's real. And I tend to agree with that. And almost to accentuate that point, another article from the Free Thought Project, conspiracy theory proven fact as cops remove senator from Walmart converted into detention center. In 2015, Snopes attempted to fact-check rumors circulating when several Walmart stores around the U.S. were abruptly closed due to what Walmart claimed were plumbing problems. Now, this is a very interesting story that was getting a lot of news, and it was quickly shot down as conspiracy theory. There were a lot of wild claims that they were going to be turned into FEMA camps and martial law, but one of the prevalent claims was that they were going to be used for illegal immigration detention centers. But of course, the Snopes article just quickly did, no way, that's not true. We know what we're talking about, and that's a false claim, and just it's too bad. It just has to do with plumbing. And that was what their article still says to this very day. But now we know, even though Snopes has not updated their webpage, at least one of these Walmarts is a detention center to house the children of immigrant families, which we recently covered with Senator Merkley going to one of these facilities. The windows all blacked out ominously, and it is a closed Walmart turned into exactly what people were worried about. And yet Snopes came right out and said, nope, fake. That's a fake story. Don't look at that. And now we see that at least one of them is very much true. So even if it's just one, the point is that people like Snopes, this is exactly what they're supposed to do. And people just happen to, they just want to see this true or false stamp and feel good about their opinion. The reality is there's a lot of sinister things going on out there that we are told not to believe, but they're quickly becoming very clearly real in our society today. And we have to stop shielding our eyes from things we don't want to be true. That story in general, I'm just continuing to look into, very ominous to me. The fact that a U.S. senator was turned away and even the police were called on him simply for wanting to see the center, and the fact that this company in general, all they do is essentially house illegal immigrants and they're separating children from their families. And we've seen that immigrant children, over 1,500 of them have gone missing in this country. A lot of them gone right into human trafficking at their own admission. And we're seeing camps in Tucson. I mean, all these things kind of seemingly go together in a very weird way. And it's interesting to see that now we're seeing other camps popping up, 160 children rescued, yet that one's still a conspiracy theory, which is possible. But why are we just dismissing something while we very clearly see it here happening? It's just, we have to begin to recognize how this game is played and ask ourselves, why with this topic? I think for many that you know that watch this channel are aware of my opinion there. There's something going on behind the scenes they just don't want us to think about. So start thinking about it. Moving on to the next story coming from theantimedia.com. Americans evacuate U.S. consulate in China after mysterious sonic attacks. Several U.S. citizens have been evacuated from the U.S. consulate in China after falling ill with various neurological symptoms from mysterious sonic attacks, similar to incidents reported in Havana, Cuba, which left 20 State Department employees with serious injuries. The attacks in Cuba damaged relations between the U.S. and the Cuban government and left some embassy employees with mild brain damage. The U.S. recalled most of its embassy staff from Havana before expelling 15 Cuban diplomats from Washington in response to the alleged attacks. Which, very interesting there, the fact that they dispelled the diplomats shows you very clearly not only that they believe that the sonic attack was real, but that they truly believed it was Cuba, or at least that's how they wanted it to appear. A team of scientists at the University of Michigan say what happened in China or could have happened in China or Cuba could have been due to sources of ultrasounds, such as eavesdropping devices, that could have been placed too closely together, provoking an intense sound like the one that was described by the victims of this recent event in China. Very interesting concept there, as eavesdropping, as we know, is something that actively happens in these kind of locations. So whether that's the case or not, at least there's an alternate possibility than sonic weapons. But you could argue maybe that's a cover for the fact that these sonic weapons are even in existence. But we've clearly proven that the U.S., as well as many other places, especially China, have been actively working on such things as EMP weapons and sonic weapons and all these different kind of next generation warfare. So it's very clearly in existence, but interesting concept to consider there. Now, there's many possibilities for this story. It very well could have been China testing out its new weapons. And if that's the case, China very much needs to be held accountable for this, because these are innocent people essentially that are being tested on by, you know, potentially by the Chinese government and using their weapons, whether it's to scare them, send a message, or simply just to test it. If that is the case, China absolutely needs to be held accountable for this. However, it could also conversely be the U.S. testing on its own people, which is something that should not shock very many. This is something that we've very clearly shown in the past has happened more times than we can count. Whether you're talking about testing biological weapons, testing new kinds of military weapons, or simply just using their people to progress their agenda, very clearly happened many times in this country's past, as well as others. And it could just be simply a way to lay blame on China, because it's quite clear that both Russia and China have been kind of labeled as the big threat by the Trump administration, despite that kind of not being the case, or at least contradicting what they've recently told us was the biggest threat to our democracy. And now they're clearly shifting that to China and Russia, really almost in a way revealing what it's always been about, just geopolitical power. For the next story coming from ZeroHedge.com, Trump wants low-yield, sea-launched nuclear option for war. President Trump and the Pentagon have completed an initial draft proposal for the emergence of low-yield, sea-launched nuclear weapons intended to increase deterrence programs throughout the world and allow new precision capabilities on the modern battlefield. This is a very scary topic that we've touched on a few times, but this is specifically about sea-launched nuclear weapons, not just general low-yield nuclear weapons, but sea-launched via submarine, which is even more alarming in general. But he goes on to say, a Pentagon official told WarriorMaven.net, quote, "Final requirements for both a low-yield sea-launched nuclear cruise missile and long-range sub-launched low-yield warheads are still in development," adding that the process has taken several substantial steps forward. Which is interesting, because technically this has not even been approved yet, but clearly they're already working on it, which is kind of interesting to see, which doesn't surprise me. I would imagine this is going to happen regardless of what Congress decides. Citing the Trump administration's nuclear posture review, the NPR, they say this is geared towards combating Russia, which shouldn't be surprising, but as we've seen, as Russia continues to spend less and less year by year on their military, Russia continues to be used as the excuse to ramp up our military spending, which is something I've talked about time and time again. The Trump administration and the Pentagon believe that Russian policies and actions can lead to an uncontrolled escalation of conflict in Europe. The NPR points to a Russian military doctrine known as escalate to de-escalate, in which Moscow would use or threaten to use low-yield nuclear weapons in a limited conventional conflict in Europe. The next generation of low-yield nuclear weapons are designed to provide naval commanders with a broader range of attack possibilities should they be needed. Secretary of Defense James Mattis told Congress earlier this year, which that concept scares the crap out of me when you realize that the fact that we're finding more ways to justify the potential use for nuclear warheads, limited, low yield, or otherwise, that's very alarming. The description they use for low yield as is basically smaller, more surgical, and less destructive than most nuclear weapons. So essentially, instead of decimating an entire city, they would instead nuke a city block, which how is that's somehow better. And also, it doesn't really take into consideration the radiation from such a nuclear attack. They never seem to factor into their warmongering concepts. Meanwhile, the Trump administration could potentially run into resistance via a group of House Democrats this week, who essentially plan to halt Trump and the Pentagon from developing low-yield nuclear weapons in general. So interesting to see how there are some people that are pretending to take a stand here. I say pretending because I've always often pointed out that both parties are heavily for war. So I think this is more of a show, and I can almost guarantee that this will go ahead as planned. Watch and see what happens. I'd be surprised if it goes against anything that would support more war overseas. For the next story coming from the freethoughtproject.com and the last story of the day, school cop repeatedly tasers innocent special needs child for wanting to go outside. So the body camera of the officer involved essentially shows 17-year-old Javon Washington, who has the mental capacity of a 9-year-old, attempt to walk out of the school after he began to have a panic attack, reportedly due to being bullied. As the video shows, Washington and the school officer are essentially peacefully talking, and the student is pleading with him just to let him go outside to get some air. After being denied multiple times, Washington just simply tries to walk out the door by him, and that's when it all erupted. As he tries to open the door, the officer just tases him out of nowhere and yells, "Don't you move, goddammit!" And the school cop essentially tasers him many times and then eventually holds the taser to his head and says, "I did not want to tase you, but you don't run shit here," which is such a crazy example of what's going on all across this country. He broke no law. He was doing nothing wrong, simply wanted to walk outside. And not to mention that he has the capacity, the mental capacity of a nine-year-old, but the officer tased him just because he didn't do what he was told. That's such a very important point to take away from this. Now, after he had repeatedly tasered him, Washington defecated himself. And in the video, you can hear him throwing up on the ground after the fact. The officer, after all this, can be heard saying, "Big kid, I got tired of wrestling with him," before noting that he had not committed any crime. The police supervisor asked him, "Do you have any charges on him?" Of course, because that's what matters. What can we use to make this all okay? But then he answers, "I don't have any charges on him." All this recorded on the body camera. His mother says that she repeatedly asked what happened in the classroom that made her son want to walk out, but she says they refused to tell her. Apparently, Washington still has nightmares to this day, every so often waking up screaming, "Don't tase me," or "Stop it." And they essentially have to come wake him up out of his sleep. Well, this is just such a horrifying story and really is sort of a microcosm of a bigger problem happening all across the country, not just in schools, but all across the country in general. But the fact that you simply don't do what you're told. And as a child, as a student, not to mention someone like this one, but just a general student in general, but you get tasered for not doing what you're told. That's just such an alarming concept. I mean, I constantly see these kind of things, especially from the Free Thought Project, on a daily basis. Kids getting arrested for the most arbitrary things, arrested while in school. And I ask myself, how did we get here? It seems like overnight, schools just became prisons. And it just goes to show you how gradually these changes take place and how every school shooting, every perceived danger, created, staged, hoaxed, or otherwise, are used to justify exactly what we're seeing now, despite the fact that violent crime has been consistently dropping over the last 20 years. But you'd never hear that from the mainstream media because they sell fear, doubt, and uncertainty, as that is used to justify the increasing control mechanisms being put in place all around us. This is why we now have kids going to jail for yelling in class or being body slammed by a police officer in elementary school or being pepper sprayed for standing up for their rights or tasered until you vomit and defecate for trying to go outside. This is just one way in which the new generations are being steadily conditioned to accept this type of police state authoritarian presence, which was once considered a conspiracy theory, all throughout their lives. And not just normalize it, but teach them not to question it. Clearly saying, you disobey, you step out of line. This is what happens, just like we saw with Ray McGovern. So they learn it. They learn to do it for their survival every day of their lives. And trust me, the other kids around this, they get the message. So imagine what life is like, or life will be like, after class, from kindergarten to high school, are forcefully taught not to speak out, not to disobey, not to think for yourself. It's a scary thought, one we are beginning to see the product of today, I would argue, and one very much worth taking a moment to think about. And consider what you may do in your life, your town, your home, to keep that spark of true revolutionary spirit that built this nation alive, and that which they are desperately working to extinguish, to breed out of us once and for all. For more information on the topics discussed, make sure you check out thelastamericanvagabond.com or any of the important independent sources in the show notes below. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.